Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you again with another episode of Refresh Podcast. I am so excited to be here with you guys. I'm still working on getting back on a consistent upload schedule, trying to get back to those Mondays at 8 a.m. So please just buckle up and you know, spare me some grace, right? Come along for the ride. I'm looking forward to trying to get back on track. But I mean, hey, you know what? You're not here for small talk. So let's just go ahead and open up in prayer, and we're going to jump into today's message. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you that you've made your word available to us, and it's such a privilege to have. God, we pray that we would uncover some great treasure in your word today. God, I thank you for this word that you have helped me to prepare. God, I pray that you would use it to challenge the hearts of your people. And God, I just ask that today's message would take root in our hearts and challenge us in our lives. Father, we love you and we thank you and we give you the highest praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today, we're going to focus on Titus 2, the entire chapter of Titus 2. Now, it's not as bad as it sounds. It's like 15 verses, but this word is very important, and let's see why. So I'm going to be reading in Titus chapter 2, and it says, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be relevant in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adore the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. For the grace of God has reappeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you." Man, a lot of good stuff. Titus is probably a book that you have overlooked so many times while scrolling through your Bible. It is right between 2 Timothy and Philemon, which is another book you've probably scrolled right past, right before Hebrews. So let's go ahead and recap exactly what Titus 2 is saying to us today. Verse 1 starts by saying, "As for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." Like our last episode together, we said that anytime we see "but," we have to go back and see exactly what's happening. So if we scroll on back to Titus chapter 1, starting at verse 10, it says that, "For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, 'Certain are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely, so that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Wow. Wow. Verse 16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and obedient and worthless for any good deed. So we see here in that recap of verses 10 through 16 that Paul is warning Titus about some rebellious men who aren't what they appear to be publicly. They scold those around them for their own selfish gain. They're consumed by their Jewish myths and commandments, and they turn away from truth. Now, time out about that verse 16, right? I mean, totally not relevant to this topic and today's episode, but did you catch the depth in that? They talk about knowing God, but their bodies and their lives and their actions, they say differently. And because of that, it voids their deeds. That they may have really good intentions and they're like, oh God, I'm doing this. But the things that they do outside of those good deeds just really causes those deeds to not be very good at all. So time in, right? which is where we start off in Titus 2, right? Because we went back and we seen what that but was there for. And so that but, it says, but for as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Paul encourages Titus and those with him to speak things that are fitting for sound doctrine. He says, listen, these guys are being rebellious and not fully committing to what they say, but you, that doesn't have to be you. Focus on what you say. Focus on faith. Stand on the truth of the gospel and follow through with what you say and read in the gospel. See, here's the thing, folks. The gospel is truth, but oftentimes we don't let truth fully penetrate our hearts because it hurts at times. It brings us face to face with ugly things, things that are detestable, disobedient, and worthless. But the great thing about following the gospel and trusting the truth of its text is the teaching element of how to handle these things. Verse 2 goes on to say, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, and in love and perseverance. I love this so much. Temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, and love and in perseverance. So what that means is control your anger and control your emotions. The word dignified means having or showing a composed or serious manner that is worthy of respect. Sensible meaning be responsible and logical, balanced, and wise. Sound in faith, meaning don't neglect God and don't fall for the righteous trends, the updates, air quotes, of the gospel, aka the watered-down gospel. Operate in love, to be that image of Jesus, to show that image of Jesus, to be full of compassion, but to be led by love, selflessly serving without gain. Perseverance, meaning don't ever give up, don't quit. But you know what? Hey, look, don't worry, ladies. Paul has something for you too, so I don't have to feel left out. In verses 3 to 5, it says that older women likewise are to be relevant in their behavior. Reverent in their behavior. Not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, but teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. That word reverent means deeply respectful. Control your words. Don't take hostile gossip and ruin somebody's life or reputation. You know what this makes me think of? Have you ever seen the movie Edward Scissorhands? Okay, not very many hands in a room, but let me just explain to you why exactly this reminds me of that. Because in this movie, there is a community of women, and they're all in like this suburb area, and so everything that's going on with the town, like everybody knows about it because they're all calling each other up, and they're all spreading these lies and these rumors, and it's just gossip, gossip, gossip. See, that's what I imagine here when I read this, that older women that Paul is saying, don't fall into the trap of being a malicious gossiper to where you're spreading lies and rumors, and you're tearing down each other's character and each other's reputations. You don't fall into those things. Don't become that thing. Now, here's a big one. It says, nor enslaved to much wine. Now, being a slave to wine, that there's a lot of argument in the body of Christ about this one, right? You would agree with me when if I said that, you know, there's people that say, oh, one cup of wine is fine. There's some people that say, well, one cup of wine is not fine. And there's just people that say, Jesus drank wine, it's all good. And then there's people that say, no, it's wrong, that's not holy. This will be a tug of war between believers forever. I personally do not believe that drinking is okay, and there's so many different scriptural references, and we'll talk about that another time, but we see that Paul here is addressing it, and he is saying, older women, don't be finding yourselves enslaved to much wine. To effectively mentor someone requires being sober-minded, and that goes beyond wine, of course, but oftentimes older ladies fall into the trap of being enslaved to wine. I've seen it so many times with different people. But teaching what is good, right? The truth, to encourage young women to love their husbands and their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. The mentorship between women is absolutely beautiful. The church is a perfect environment to be groomed and equipped for marriage and parenthood. I mean, you're literally surrounded by people who have experienced it. The things that have worked and the things that weren't so effective, they have been through all of it. You see, the thing is, we've endured hardships to bring God glory in the conclusion of those hardships. God then takes what we have endured and he crafts it into a tool that we can use to place it in the hand of another person, teaching them how to operate the tool to prepare them for the moment they'll need it. I've recently been able to experience this through the eyes of my fiance. She helped our church with a children's play this past Sunday, and when we were finally able to reflect on the event, I saw her eyes just light up and her mouth smile so big as she shared how amazing it was for her to be surrounded by women older than her and ahead of her in life. And it didn't feel awkward for her. She felt comfortable. She felt important. She felt loved. And this is how effective mentorship is done, is by doing that life together, choosing to be a part of each other's lives. And it requires the one that is being mentored to surrender themselves, to subject themselves to that recommendation, to that advice, to that correction, to whatever it is that mentor offers. And then it is the mentor's job to be involved and to give in the lives of that person they're mentoring. So it is such an important relationship on both ends. In verses 6 through 8, it says, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Older men, teach young men to be an example. In every moment of their life, show yourself to be an example of what good deeds look like. Not like the rebellious men we mentioned above who do things opposite of what they say, and they're just doing these good deeds to get something out of it, to get some kind of reward. But better yet, to do these things, do good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignity, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach. Now, the purity in doctrine, it means to be pure in the word of God, you know, to allow the washing of the word of God to come upon you, to equip you. You're taking the word of God and you're embedding it in your heart. So on that day when you need it the most, it'll be there. It's like storing nuts for the winter, you know? And so sound in speech, which is beyond reproach. This one sticks out to me tremendously, right? Sound in speech was beyond reproach. Let's take a deeper glimpse of this and look at exactly what it says. So, sound and speech. The word sound being well-grounded, valid, solid, and reliable. Now, developing the ability to speak in this nature requires being a student of the word. It requires being sensitive to Holy Spirit, being no stranger to the presence of God. Beyond reapproach. The word reapproach means address someone in such a way as to express disapproval or disappointment. Man, you know what? What you said offended me. That hurt my feelings. You know what? You shouldn't tell people the truth. It's rough to digest. It's the Karen alert. You know, it's whenever somebody is just rubbed the wrong way and they really don't like what you said, or it made them feel guilty or convicted. And so they're kind of like lashing out and feeling some kind of way, right? So when you speak to people in sound speech, they begin to see past their feelings and offenses, and they seek the desire to fix what they're doing wrong. They begin to crave that relationship with Jesus, or they want that element of the gospel, or what Holy Spirit is giving you to say in those moments. They want that. So they're looking beyond the pain. They're looking beyond the offense. They're looking beyond their feelings, and they want what you have better, instead of saying like, oh, like they're expressing like, I just want you to know you hurt my feelings, or I just want you to know like I didn't appreciate what you said. They're looking beyond that. Because they want what you're saying. They want what you're speaking about. That's why when we go back to scripture, it talks about that. And it says right here, and it says in verse 8, that so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. There's nothing bad they can say because Holy Spirit penetrates their heart. And when you speak to people in sound speech, like I said, they see past those feelings and offenses. Then they seek the desire to fix what they're doing wrong. And Holy Spirit sees past those barriers of their heart and will direct the speaker to speak accordingly. That on-time word. In verses 9 through 10, it tells us, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. Now, before you get upset, please understand that this was written to a culture who did have slavery. I know, in America, that's not something that is a thing anymore, right? It's something that you don't typically see here in America, but there are still parts of the world that slavery exists in. But I believe that the beauty in this text is about authority. The point is authority. So if you're a slave, or if you're an everyday person, at some point you answer to authority. So here's what you do. You submit yourself to the person in authority that you answer to. You surrender your ideas, your motives, your will, and you serve. And you be pleasing when you serve. Don't argue with them. You show them good faith. And in return, they will adore the doctrine of God in every respect. What that means is, if you serve well, when you serve well, you give God the credit. And when you point back to God, they will begin to believe in the God you serve. About those good deeds. It's about those actions. And lastly, we see in the rest of the passage of Scripture, verses 11 through 15 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority, and let no one disregard you. thank you, Lord, that because you sent Jesus, I have the ability to receive heaven. I have the choice to submit myself to mentorship, to listen and learn about experiences that people ahead of me had that I can apply to my own life. That in this preparation process with these mentors and through these processes, that it's preparing me for that moment that Jesus is calling me to be his own possession, that Jesus is calling me to be purified, that Jesus is calling me to remove myself from every lawless deed and to be zealous for good deeds, to be hungry and to crave to do things that please the Father and bring him glory, right? This is what it leads up to, folks. Like today's word, I pray that this encourages people who think that their mission is finished. And I've seen it so many times, I've heard it so many times, that older people in the congregation think that the Lord is finished with them because they're old. But that is not scriptural. We see this here in the book of Titus, that if you're old and if you're a man, a woman, and you think you don't have anything to offer the younger generation because you feel like you're irrelevant or don't know if they would be interested, you need to know that you are a pool of wisdom. You have such an important role in the kingdom. You get to help develop leaders, strong husbands and wives, but also successful husband and wives. You know what? Maybe you're not super old. Maybe you're just ahead of people in life. But that's okay, because this instruction applies to you too. Share with them. Tell them about your life, about what God has done and wants to do in their lives. Look, if you're like 30, then find somebody that's 20 and share with them. If you're 40, find someone that's 30 and share with them. If you're 50, find someone that's 40 and share with them. If you're 60, find someone that's 50 and share with them. And the list just keeps going on and on. We all have something to offer. We have to begin to step into that role to mentor and to stop thinking that God is finished with us because we're old or we're getting older or because we don't feel relevant or what's trending. It's not about what's trending, but it's about what Holy Spirit wants to do inside of you and the lives of those around you. See, listen to this. We don't just minister for a few years and then occupy a chair in the church because we feel like we've earned it for all the things we've done for the kingdom, but it goes beyond that. If you're alive, you have something to share, because ultimately your mentorship leads to the gospel. Showing others what good deeds combined with sound speech and being purified in the gospel, it all leads to the kingdom. It all leads to salvation. It all leads to being successful in this life that we're living to bring God glory. It's time to speak. If you're breathing, it's time to share. It's time to stop being paralyzed by fear. Don't be afraid, my friend. Your time is not finished. Let's pray. Father, just thank you so much for this word today. God, I thank you for the privilege to speak to your people, Lord, about what you're wanting to say in your word today. God, I thank you for the book of Titus. I thank you for chapter 2 that encourages us that our time is not yet finished, that if we are alive and if we're breathing, then we have a job to equip. We have a job to mentor those around us, to encourage them to be better than they are right now. God, I just pray that this word would not be forgotten, that it would not get shuffled into the many thousands of thoughts that we have on a regular basis, but that this word would come shining through and remind us in the most difficult moments when we feel insignificant, when we feel like we don't have anything else that we can possibly offer to you. God, that you would remind us that you are not finished with us yet. God, I thank you so much, and we give you the highest praise. You're so good, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Refresh Podcast, where Christ goes before us so we can bring you another refreshing word. This has been your boy, the Muffin Man, saying keep it fresh, have a good day, God bless, and I love you. Take it easy, don't be cheesy. See you next time.